Message in the Bottle, brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company.
It's very far away. It takes about half a day to get there. If we travel by dragonfly.
Eric Meehan joining us in studio this afternoon. Good to have you back, sir.
It's good to be back. I haven't listened to that song in way too long. I remember apparently Lemmy Kilmister of Motorhead, RIP, was in studio when he was recording that.
Really?
He was in Hawkwind, which was his psychedelic band prior to Motorhead. And I guess they were, you know, recording down, you know, the hall like they used to. And he just happened to, and I remember this interview talking about, like, he just built this glorious song off this riff that he just came in. He's like, this is what I got. And he's like, it was Jimi Hendrix being Jimi Hendrix. I can't imagine being Jimi Hendrix, by the way. Apparently he was like the hardest person on himself ever. Didn't want to sing. I'm not a good singer.
Didn't like his voice.
Yeah. I'm like, you did okay.
Yeah.
You did okay. Jeez. I mean, I don't know. Cool stuff. I used to listen to Hendrix all the time. Like back when I thought I was going to be a good guitarist in life, as opposed to the middling guitarist that we all turn out to be. I was like, yeah, I got it. And so I find myself buying like bootlegs, like bad bootlegs. Really, there were nights when Jimmy was not on. I mean, he was on many things. The stuff that he apparently put in his bandana and stuff. But I was like, oh, that's when I learned the difference between bootlegs and studio recordings. Anyway. Hey everybody! So it's July. We finally got there. You might have noticed because it was hot, and then it was rainy. So that's when you realized it was Maine. That means we're moving on to Spain and the Iberian Peninsula this month in our tour. I'm sorry, we're not sipping on anything to tell you about today because as I was mentioning to the gentleman beforehand, today has been a day of every half an hour I realize that in 20 minutes I need to do something that I have forgotten that I needed to do. So it's frankly a miracle that I'm here in studio talking to any of you. And if any of you out there see either of my children wandering around in a place where they likely should be, but I should also be with them, just pity them. Pity. And so I'll be around
roll
soon.
Down the window and say, Dad will be here soon.
He's screaming at some really, really slow-moving person through Orono or whatever. It's all good. So we're talking about a new area. We're going to talk about Catalonia today. So I actually had a charming conversation with a gentleman at there's a really cool granite quarry out to Franklin. If any of you ever go through Ellsworth and don't feel like, you know, following all the tourists, you can make a little detour and find this old granite quarry with this granite artist. And he had a helper there, and he found out I owned Bangor Wine and Cheese, and he was like, oh cool, you know, you know all these cheeses. And he started talking about the Basque country in Catalonia. So Catalonia is that area which used to encompass sort of the lower part of the Mediterranean coast of France and the area around Barcelona and things like that. And if you go there, you will hear people sort of speaking something vaguely Hispanic, but with sort of a lisp, like Barcelona. And you're like, oh, what's going on? That's Catalan. It is a language that is still around, and the Catalans are very proud people. In fact, there was a movement to separate not too long ago. It failed because the Spanish weren't having that. But it's, you know, it is its own really distinct country. And if you go to Barcelona as a visitor, you will notice that the plaques on any museum or whatever are in Catalan first, and then Spanish, and usually, you know, English, German, etc. It's definitely its own vibe, and they are, you know, they're subsequently they're kind of autonomous. They don't do stuff that everybody else in Spain does, which is kind of why I like to separate it. Now on the French side, I'll admit they kind of do what the rest of Mediterranean French coastal places do in terms of their grape varietals. Your Grenache, your Syrah, etc. They do a little more fortified wine, just above the Spanish-French border, places called, you know, like Banyuls, etc. But it's still kind of, you know, Southern French. Whereas you get into the Spanish part, first of all, the main wine that they make there is Cava, C-A-V-A. That is the official sparkling wine of all of Spain. You can technically make it everywhere, but it's just not how it works. There's a little town called Saint-Sadonnois de Noia, Saint Saturni de Noia. And that is, it's outside of Barcelona, I don't know, about 45 minutes if you drive fast. And it's its own sort of independent collective with the surrounding Penedès region around it. The large houses, Cordonnier, Frégenet, they're there. Lots of little producers. And it is done in method champenoise, right? Method classical. The same way that, and it's important to kind of remember that as we're talking about Iberia, Dom Perignon, right, the famous monk who went back up to Champagne and said, I figured it out. figured it out because he went down to Portugal and found corks. So he went through this area, and the tradition of secondary fermentation is not necessarily solely Champagne's. It's just that they had better marketers. Primarily the church. Funny. So the cava is the thing, and cava can be made out of Chardonnay and Pinot Noir, but primarily, hopefully, it's made out of Charello, Macabeo, and some other native varietals that you're starting to see a preponderance of, which is cool. There's a red grape called Trépat, which is wonderful. It makes a wonderful rosé, bubbly. So there's a lot of areas of this area that are, yes, you have cava, but the success of cava has allowed people to kind of play. And so you have the great cava houses playing around a little bit and working on still wines, primarily white wines in that area, because, of course, the primary grapes of cava are white. But you're seeing people trying to create appellations that have nothing to do with bubbles. They're solely, white wine made out of this from this area. Very, very true to the old Burgundian standardization of this vineyard is better than this vineyard for this grape, and we're going to do a special bottling of this because it's special, right? So that's really important. What also is important to realize is that in Spain, that's a much, much harder proposition. Why? I don't know. I mean, the Spanish government, like many in Europe, is stable, but loose. And bureaucracy is bureaucracy. And so I've got a good friend who owns a wonderful castle, a house called Castle Roig. His name is Marcel Sabate. And he's been trying for years to get this done. And it's just, it's near on impossible. But he's finally gotten the basic Penedès sub-appellation going. There's also hippies, right? There's also people that are not necessarily connected with the cava trade at all or anything like that, that are in either along the coast, places like Conca de Barbara, or a little inland, sort of in the shadows of the Pyrenees, that are doing really, really interesting stuff, again, with some native varietals and some what we call international varietals, your Syrah, Mazuelo, which is the Catalan for Carignan. The Catalan for Carignan. Mm. Carignan, the grape, Catalan, the language. And so, importation of these things is sticky. I've got a couple, importers that I work with who are successful in certain years, and in certain years, it just doesn't work quite as well because, again, they're, dealing with hippies. And I mean that in the nicest way possible. Like, if anybody up here has ever been like a whole, tried to talk to someone who does, their own handicrafts or makes cheese or local wines or local anything, right? And they come to you and say, I'd like you to carry this in my store. It's like, okay, well, there's certain things we need to talk about. I need to order this much at a time. I need it to be for a wholesale price, not, what you would sell it at. And there's certain, things that you go through to sort of expand your business. And Spanish folkists are no different, and so that's but the wines are really intriguing, really promising. So that's my whole sort of spiel on Catalonia, because I know I'm running out of time. And so next week we'll talk about the Tempranillo, which is obviously the main red grape of most of Spain, and what I call the Frenchianization of Spain, when they learned how to barrel age and blend and things like that. Just really quickly, please remember that non-vaccinated people are welcome into our store, but please do continue to wear a mask if you are not vaccinated, or if you simply feel more comfortable wearing a mask. That is absolutely not a problem, and we are still doing curbside at the store as well. so don't hesitate to use that. Also, please be patient with us. We are, like so many people, looking for labor. And so if you find us short-staffed, do please be patient. We will do our best for you. And much appreciation for those who have exercised their patience with us, because Lord knows we need it. And in the meantime, check out our Wine of the Week, which is a wonderful Chenin Blanc from South Africa, which is an extraordinarily good value as well, any day of the week. But of course, at 10% off, hey, who can beat it? And I'll join you all next week, and I look forward to seeing you in the shop.
Fantastic. Thank you, Eric.
Cheers, guys.
Don't forget where you have to be when you leave. Uh-oh.
Got it. I got it. Okay, I got it.
All right.
And it even includes picking up both of my children. So, and we're playing Mr. Downtown again.
Yeah.
You guys.
Just for you.
Hey, everybody go out and watch That Thing You Do. It's a movie. If you don't like it, you ain't human.
There you go.
It's charming. Cheers.
Thanks, Eric. Eric Mann, Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street, downtown Bangor.